In the course of this retreat, I've emphasized the value of having the mind see distinctions. When there's many distinctions to be seen, I was very careful not to say for the mind to make distinctions, but to see distinctions, to experience distinctions. And one of those distinctions is between a mind involved in discursive thinking and one that is not. A mind busy, preoccupied with thinking, and one that is not. And the value of that distinction is that we start appreciating how much a lot of thinking creates fog in the mind, clouds things over, makes it hard to see what's happening. With enough involvement with thinking, we don't even know we're distracted by thoughts. So distracted by distractions, we don't know we're distracted. And one of the important orientations around distinctions is to recognize the presence of something, some experience, anything, and to recognize the absence of it. Appreciating the absences can teach us that whatever way things are, it won't always be that was this way. Unless the thing that we're experiencing is an absence. Certain absences are always going to be, but anything that is born, everything that arises, will pass. And there'll be its absence. And sometimes the absence can reveal the lingering presence of attachment, of desire, clinging. And sometimes the absence can help show the possibility of the absence of clinging, absence of desire. Desires and clinging also cloud the mind, make it hard to see clearly. Any desire that arises won't always be so, won't always be there, it'll pass. any aversion that arises will become different, will become otherwise, will pass. And there'll be, at some point, an absence. The absence of desires and greed, attachments. The absence of resistance and aversion is more than just an absence. It's the possibility for other things to flower, to grow in that space. Our capacity to be aware grows in the absence of discursive thought. It grows in the absence of strong desires, attachments, aversions, resistance. Mind's capacity to see helpful distinctions grows with the absence of fog and cloudiness, distraction. The absence of stress, stressful thinking, the absence of anxiety and anxious thinking allows for organic vitality to well up. An embodied vitality, effort, energy. The absence of straining and struggling. The presence of straining and struggling diminishes the natural vitality. The absence of strain, striving, pushing, expecting, wanting allows for a deep experience of an embodied vitality. That maybe comes with a kind of contentment. Where it's enough to be. Feel the sense of aliveness here in this body. the absence of self-preoccupation, the absence of constructing self, ideas of self, stories of self. Makes room for a joy, delight, a vitality that feels delightful as we practice here, aware. The absence of agitation makes room for tranquility, a calm manifestation of our vitality, aliveness, maybe throughout the body, throughout the mind. The absence of agitation can reveal a physical peacefulness. A peaceful awareness. The absence of distraction, the absence of running off after thoughts and ideas and desires, makes room for a settling. A gathering together here where body and mind become unified. Maybe where the mind rests in the body and the body rests in awareness. And the absence of selfing, the absence essence of the overlay of this is mine. This is who I am. This is myself. The absence of those definitions and appropriations. And make room for a broad equanimity. Makes room for non-reactivity. Makes room for a simplicity. So that when there's a sound, just a sound. When there's a body sensation, it's just a sensation. When there's a thought, it's just a thought. When there's a feeling, just a feeling. Without being for or against it. Without making anything about it. No constructs, stories. Each thing allowed to be itself. If there are desires, letting the desire just be a desire. Attachment allowed to be just attachment. If there's selfing, just allow it to be. It's just something the mind constructs and makes. No need to make a self out of selfing. Each arising is allowed to come forth to be itself. Without us asserting ourselves. Without us being someone. Without us being the doer. Don't even need to be the experiencer, the victim. Each thing is allowed to arise into experience. and to pass. Each thing arises in a vast field of absence. Surrounding each thing that arises and occurs, beyond its edges, somewhere beyond the edges of thought, ideas, desires, is absence of desire and thoughts. Is spaciousness, where things occur freely within vast space. Is a stillness within which things arise and pass. Maybe a stillness of awareness. Like the stillness of a peaceful dawn. We can be aware without doing awareness. More like allowing awareness. We're recognizing in the absence of distraction, preoccupation, awareness appears. When awareness, mindfulness is not appropriated by the self, then it's easier for awareness to just be present for the simplicity of the moment as things arise and pass. Appear for a while, endure, persist for a little while, and then disappear. when something passes, disappears, dissolves, no longer in awareness. There's the absence of it. An absence into which all things can disappear. In which all things will disappear. Into which you will disappear. Disappearing into an absence, which will allow for freedom. great absence, there is peace. A peace that invites you. A peace which invites letting go. You might if it's easy enough, stay close to the awareness that doesn't make anything of anything, doesn't appropriate anything from anything. Allows each experience to be itself, to allow each experience to appear and disappear on its own. And perhaps trust awareness more than you trust making things of what's happening, more than you trust thinking, figuring out. Trusting awareness. And something will find its rest. In all the space that awareness provides. Thank you. Mm-hmm.